So hello, everybody, and welcome to our Sweet Spot call, which is our metabolic reset prep call. We are on the 30th of May, and our reset officially starts on June 1st. And I'm here today to give you some ideas of what that really means and what you need to do to be preparing. A lot of people kind of are freaking out and they're not really knowing what to expect and are getting a little nervous about it. And here's the thing. If you need to start later, you can start later, and I'll share with you how to go ahead and do that. So I'm going to start a slide presentation because I put together some slides. And as you have questions, if you have questions as I'm going through the slides, good idea would be to go to the Q&A section on there and put those questions in there so I can answer them and they don't get lost in the chat. Okay? Looking in the chat, it looks like people are hearing me. Okay, perfect. All right, so I'm going to go ahead. What I need you to do, I just did put up a set of slides, but you may not be seeing them right now because you got in before I did. So what I'll ask you to do, if you can, is to go ahead and move this to my second screen, maybe my second screen, or is to go ahead and restart. So either just hit the little, you know, that little circle with the arrow on it at the top, just go ahead and hit that, and that will get you started again. And if that doesn't work, just go ahead and exit and come right back in, and that will get the slides started. And as soon as you guys start to see my slides, post it in the chat. All right, so I'm going to go back to the chat and see. I see a slide. Yay! That was Lynn Rose. All right, so everybody else, as soon as you see slides, yay, you see my welcome slides. Super, super, super. So I like to do a backup recording so that we can get it to you more quickly than on a video, because Instant Health Seminar doesn't do a great job on video. So I'm going to start a backup recording here. But in reality, the slides, I'm not going to give you copies of these slides because they're really the same as your slides on the metabolic reset page. I may have to close my window because I'm hearing somebody mowing a lawn next door. I wish they were mowing mine. Okay, so no. Okay, so I'm going to say file, new project. And we're going to say record. Okay, so I'm going to move this over to here and make it smaller. See, we're going to go custom. Let me pick the size. It's 640 by 480. Got it. Okay, now all I have to do is move this up or move this down. I don't know if this is going to work. It's not going to work. Give me a second. Sometimes this thing is a little finicky and it's hard to get it. Okay, now I can do it. Sorry, I couldn't give the setup earlier because I had to reboot my computer. Do you ever have your computer like it's like it goes on strike and it's like it's suddenly got chronic fatigue syndrome? That's what was happening to my computer this morning, and I couldn't get any windows to open, and it was kind of frustrating. So I decided I would reboot it so we would have a clean recording on the call. So I'd love for all of you, while I'm getting this organized here, I'd love for all of you to, I'd love for everybody to post in just a little one-sentence summary of how you're doing. If you're seeing some nice improvements, what are they? If you're having some frustrations and having some difficulties with things that you want help with, then post to those as well. All right, it's almost there. This is like 640. I have to like give it the dimensions now. 5480. Okay. All right, good. I just have to make this a little bigger and move it over a bit and clear this. I don't know how to do that. There's this weird thing where it lets you mark on the slides, but suddenly there's a yellow line on my slides. Do you see the yellow line? Okay, it went away. But it's on the first slide. And I don't know how to get rid of it. Okay, got it. Okay, everybody, I'm going to go quickly look at the chat to see what you're saying. Deborah says, I'm doing great. My glucose is staying below 100 consistently. Yay. Evelyn, really delayed in getting started. It's no time like the present. So we'll give you some good tips on getting started right now. That works, whoever that is, typed in that works. Surprised to learn red meat causes a much higher readings than expected. Diana, doing well, testing and retesting to make sure I know, and going through this the second time, the patterns are different and better for sure. That's awesome. Hannah, just now tracking blood glucose and seeing some ups and downs. Yeah, you will. Rona, nice improvements. I'm diabetic and my numbers are down. When issue numbers rise on the way by 30 points, what to do? Okay, just get through this 30-day reset, and we'll talk about some of that stuff now. Because it's not just about the food, right? Laura, still testing, definitely seeing some problem foods. Great. We're going to eliminate those for 30 days, and you're going to see what magic 30-day elimination really does. I hear you with 10 to 15 points lower in glucose. Feel clear-headed and haven't had a headache for weeks. Awesome. Indra says my glucose is not going under 100, so we can talk about that. Let's hold that. Lynn, will you copy that into the Q&A so that I can come back to Indra and ask some questions? And I suggest that you get on the phone with me so I can ask you questions and we can figure out why. Liz, exercise and relaxation is great. Surprised by how many veggies spike glucose. Yeah, that is surprising, isn't it? I had an issue last week where I ate red pepper. It was a skewer of peppers, red peppers, onions, and zucchini, and my sugar shot up to 150. And it was at an event, so I don't know what kind of boil or what else, but it really was a shocker to me with that. Now that I'm back home, everything is better. Okay, Heidi, struggling with getting the fasting glucose below 90. Let's just give to be patient with that, because by the end of the reset, it might do that, and we can talk about that throughout if it's not after another week doing that. Slow but getting going, doing better. Donna, Terry, I've been at it for 2 months. The pattern initially was good, glucose between 90 and 107 after meals. Past week, glucose is swinging more. I'm eating the same food. So you may want to look at some of those other pieces, Terry, and we'll talk more about those today, the sleep and the stress and all that. Sora, I'm finally checking glucose. Freaked out about how high my blood sugar went up after ramen. Understandable, I would expect that. Even with better meals, my glucose sometimes goes to 95, but often 103. 103 is fine. 110 is fine. So don't worry about that. I think, you know, you learned that ramen, which is, it's grain, it's pasta, is not a good thing. Diana, I'm amazed by the second time. Still a few weird things, but almost all within guidelines and parameters. Let's see. Valerie, unsure on my glucose near 100 on waking, then goes down to 90. Okay. So we'll look at this and let's really look at all these factors, and we're just about to start the reset. The reset is where the really magic happens, because during the testing phase, you're up and down and all over the place, but during the reset, you're going to keep things more steady. Barbara said, doing well, not below 110 much, but doing great and making excellent progress. Great. Still up and down. Definitely can't eat mangoes. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Same issue with not getting below 100 in the morning. Yeah, so, you know, get rid of the stuff that shoots the sugar up now, but afterwards we're going to test it. Yeah. Why no coffee? We explained that if you watch the videos in Module 2. Tanya submitted a question in advance about sleep. Yes. Any questions we don't answer, I'll get on another call. Of course, if I can't find a good time, I'll just go and record them. Record and answer them and then post the recording. Okay. Laura, usually 90 to 110 in the morning, 120s with meals. Okay, we're going to work on getting that down. LaShawn, should I use Genteel or Keto Mojo? Genteel and Keto Mojo are two different things. Keto Mojo is a glucose and ketone tester, and the Genteel is actually a lancet and the lancing device. So if you have very sensitive fingers, I've been using my Genteel because I bought it last year, and I did fine with the others, but boy, the Genteel is really much nicer. Your fingers don't hurt when you use it. And that worked. How Heather? feel your recommendations, Ray Food, have been totally validated by my ups and downs. Okay, so that was great. Thank you for that check-in. So what I'm going to do is I am going to start this backup recording with the presentation, assuming everybody can see it. If you can't, then type in the chat and Lynn will help you with how to get to it. All right. So you see my presentation. So we're going to be starting the metabolic reset. We're about 2 days away from day one. Of course, you know, it's nice to go through it with the group and all start at the same time. But if you prefer not to do that and you prefer to start a little bit later, we're going to send you an email tomorrow that's going to give you instructions that if you just want to do it with the group, you do nothing and we will just tag you all to start it. If you want to do it at a different time, you're going to respond to that email. We'll tell you how. And then we're going to send you a link or send you to where the link is. It's actually on the site that you can do to start it. If you start the reset, like say we start everybody on the reset and you decide, you know what, I'm on vacation this week, I want to start it on the 10th, you can go back in and follow the instructions to restart it. So you can restart it anytime. During the reset, I'm going to be sending you a daily message. In previous sweet spots, people have called those messages the love notes because that's what they are. They're really supportive and very inspiring and empowering, short little notes, usually with a little video attached to it that you can listen to the video. You can hear my message. You can hear my voice. And we're just cheering you on and taking you through, answering some of the questions that often come up. But we have weekly calls set up during the reset. So I want to make sure you're aware of that. And actually, the next week's call is also, I think, on a Thursday. And I have set aside, I just cleared my whole calendar for the rest of the day after that. So if anybody is struggling and needs to get support, just plan on staying for as long as you need, because I'm going to plan on staying for as long as you need for me to help you. So that will be about 5 days into the reset. And if you have questions, concerns, comments, things you want support with, I'm going to be here to support you. And Lynn will too. All right. So like everything we always do, everything is, you know, intended as education to empower you to take charge of your own health. It's not medical advice. So if you are on any medications or you're under the care of a doctor, just, you know, make an appointment and have a conversation and explain what you're doing and get their blessings. If they don't give you your blessings, I'm going to just tell you one thing. Unless there's something really serious, really unusual going on for you, and they say, oh, no, we don't want you to change your diet and do this stuff for your glucose, they're probably not the right doctor for you because they're probably entrenched in the Western model and they don't really know, unless there's some extenuating circumstances. But if you're overweight or you're fatigued or you have been diagnosed with insulin resistance or type 2 diabetes, then, and they're saying, no, don't do this program, it's probably uninformed. All right, I just want to let you know. So I want to review a little bit about what the purpose of the metabolic reset is. So we talk about this, and it's interesting because I started using this term 9 or 10 years ago. When was it first? 9 years ago when we first did this program, I started calling it the metabolic reset, the 30-day metabolic reset. And nobody else was using that term. And now I'm seeing all over the place popping up. I saw Dr. Christensen started calling his, he calls it the metabolic, calls it something else, but periodically through his book, he's calling it a metabolic reset. I saw JJ Virgin post something about doing a metabolic reset for yourself. So the term is getting to be more well-known and popular. The idea is that for years, decades, you have been bombarding your insulin receptors with things that cause them not to function properly, not to actually allow the glucose to go from your bloodstream and into your cells. And we're going to give them a rest. Kind of like if you broke your arm and you put it in a cast and didn't use it for a month to allow the bone to heal. We're basically going to give those insulin receptors a rest so they can heal. A lot of you have had some maybe weird blood sugar tracking and various things like that in the testing phase. What I'm going to say is don't worry about any of that. Follow the instructions and give them a break. So during the metabolic reset, starting in June 1st or whenever you decide to start it, Do not test foods that you haven't tried before. Do not eat foods that you haven't tried before unless they're on the green list on, and I'll show you where that is. I have a picture of it. Unless they're on the green list. Because if you start to test, you're going to get weird results and then the receptors aren't going to get the rest. So it might be a really restrictive diet for a month. It might be really restrictive exercise schedule or a restrictive sleep schedule. We're trying to give them a break. It's like, think of it as putting your arm or leg into a cast to let it heal from a fracture. They've basically been broken. They've been broken by excess sugar, excess starch, food allergens, hydrogenated oils, oxidized fats, and the like. So the ideal is to keep the blood glucose in optimal range. And a caveat with this is, if you're diabetic and you're starting this program, there's no way that, or there's no way by now you've found enough foods to get you through the reset that keep your sugar below 110. If you have, great. You're going to stick with it. Even if it's only 5 to 10 foods, at least stick with it for a couple of weeks to get them reset. But if you're starting the program and your fasting glucose is in the 200s or high 160s or 80s, the likelihood of finding a whole bunch of foods that keep it below 110 is not usual. So what we want you to do is avoid the foods that raise your blood sugar up more than 25 to 30 points above your baseline. And what I mean by your baseline is your starting glucose in the morning or your starting glucose right before the meal. So if you eat a meal and it rises your sugar, assuming you're starting high, it rises your sugar more than 20 to 30 points, then put that on the suspect list, even if it's on our green list, okay? But if you're diabetic, I recommend don't eat, well, nobody should look at the red list. The red list is everybody stays off of. The yellow list is where you test and figure it out. If you're a diabetic and you're overweight, then I would just not eat anything from the yellow, and I'll show you that list in a moment. The idea is to improve your immune system function, decrease inflammation because of all the anti-inflammatory foods, optimize your burning of fat, and we'll talk about that with regard to meal timing, exercise, and the food. To minimize the impact of your stress hormones, which is why we gave you a 30-day stress transformation process. So hopefully you've started that already, and during the reset, we're going to recommend, and I'll show you the specifics of that. Improving your sleep so healing can optimize. The sleep may take a while. And then helping you to find that sweet spot. For me, I know my sweet spot where I don't have cravings and I feel really good is when my blood sugar is between 60 and 78. I like it there. I don't feel hungry. I don't feel tired. My brain feels on fire. Now, I can feel good in the 80s as well. But if it starts to go up, I start to get hungry. But I discovered that by doing this testing, and that's what I want you to discover. Are you getting hungry when your blood sugar goes up? That's not what you would expect, right? You'd expect to get hungry when your blood sugar goes down. But indeed, what a lot of people find is they get hungry when their blood sugar goes up, and that's because the sugar's in the blood, not in the cells where it can make energy so you feel better. So that's the story with that. I want you to know that throughout this process, it's not just about food. There are a lot of people who do the food perfectly but don't get results because they're not minimizing the stress. They're not improving their sleep. And here's the deal. Even if you can't sleep, I at least want you in bed for 8 hours a night. I seriously find that so helpful. Sometimes when I try to stay in bed longer than my body wants to, I just want to give my body this rest. Or more than my brain wants to, really, I will find that just lying there in that kind of like half in between, not trying to fall asleep, not getting frustrated because I can't, but just being thankful that I get to be laying there and not doing anything and not obligated to do anything. Okay. So these are the five areas, and we are working throughout the metabolic reset to optimize them. To get the best results, you're going to be working on all of these. Now, if you feel like you can only handle one at a time because it'll create more stress to create more, then pick the nutrition as a starting point. But don't expect to get the same results as if you are also including some of the burst exercises and the stress breaks and the sleep hygiene and all that and the timing. Now, some people are not going to be able to do our recommended timing, which is 4 to 6 hours between meals, because you're so used to eating meals close together and you have a problem with reactive hypoglycemia, and it's not just going to go away. So then in that regard, I typically recommend that you just start gradually increasing the spacing between meals. If you're finding that you have to eat before going to bed, or you crash, or you wake up in the middle of the night hungry, or you can't fall asleep, then what I'm going to invite you to do is just move that food that you have before bed back by 15 minutes every few days until you get it to 3 hours before, comfortably. And if you get to the point where you reduce it and now you can't fall asleep, then you bump it back up and you stay there for a while. And then we look at some of the other things which are in the modules. Now, there are 5 modules in addition to the foundations and the metabolic reset modules. All you really need to do to be successful at the metabolic reset, at getting started with it, is to have completed all the stuff in the foundation. And when I say completed, it doesn't mean you've mastered it all, but you've gone through it all and you're working on it. I highly recommend that you do that. If you haven't, then you can still get success, maybe not as deep a success, but you can still get success by just jumping right into the metabolic reset module and following instructions. And as I go through this presentation, I'm going to show you the minimal stuff that you should do. What we're going to do is each week throughout the metabolic reset, and probably 1 week after, I'm going to really, on our calls, give you a short summary deep dive of the deep dive stuff that's in that module. And I recommend that you then work on that module that week. So that way you're not feeling like, oh my God, I didn't finish everything. We didn't intend it to be that way. We intended to give you the starting point recommendations in each of these 5 areas. And then in the modules, we go deeper. But if you're getting results by just doing the jumpstart activities, you don't have to go so deep. The nutrition is the exception, because in the nutrition module is where we have all of the charts and the recipes and the menu plans. And I'll talk about that as we go through here, just to make sure you're up to speed. Most of you, if not all of you, are. So these are the components that we're giving you in the metabolic reset module. There's a 30-day metabolic reset implementation guide that contains a 30-day reset food chart on one page and the reset summary chart on the other. And I'm going to show you that in a few minutes. There's also some reset daily and weekly checklists. Someone had posted last week in the Facebook group that they wish they had some checklists that had everything on it that they can just check off and they can personalize for themselves. We have that, and I'm going to show you them, and they are in this metabolic reset module. We also give you the menu planner and the recipe guide. Here's the thing with menu planners. A lot of people ask for menu planners. They want to know exactly what to eat day by day. So we put together a 30-day menu planner, and it refers to recipes in the recipe collection. To me, menu planners are guidelines. So you may want to substitute out different recipes in the menu planner. So if you really like having a menu planner, I suggest you do one of 2 things. You either print out the blank sheets, the template sheets, and then use some of the sheets, the 30 days, to create your own. Or print out the 30 days of menus that we gave you, and then just cross off or change the recipes around or change the timing. And if you're skipping one meal, you're only doing 2, cross that meal off and try to get some of those nutrients at other meals. You can make it your own, or you can just follow the recipe planner and the menu planner. And then the recipe collection is 250 pages of amazing recipes. I try to keep the recipes simple. And they're mostly some sorts of vegetable base with a really nice whole food plant-based fat sauce. And then optionally, if you're a meat eater and you add to that meal some deep ocean fish that you know is well sourced, you can add some organically raised and pastured meat, small amount, 3 ounces kind of thing, to your big vegetable meal. You can add, that's about it. So one of those 2 things. We're eliminating dairy and eggs, and people ask about that. well, I have a goat and this and that. I mean, if you have your own goat and you're milking your own goat and you've always felt good on it and you don't have symptoms, then fine, do it. But you all are here because you're having symptoms, whether it's exhaustion, whether it's brain fog, whether it's excess weight. So I highly recommend that you trust me on this and do the elimination diet that I laid out. Just eliminate those foods. And then if you want to add them back in, you can add them back in. But I wouldn't do it until you've been away from them for at least 2 weeks. And then if you add them back in, really carefully be testing your blood sugar, your sinuses, your poop, your mood, and everything, and make sure they're not badly affecting you. That would be true for eggs that are from chickens that are running around wild. You know, your neighbor down the street has a chicken. That's the only eggs you really should be considering eating. Or if it's dairy, that it's goat dairy from, again, a local provider. And everything else, the cow dairy, et cetera, off the menu for the 30-day metabolic reset. If you want to test them later and see how they do, fine. My issue with the dairy is that whey has been shown to increase insulin levels. It doesn't increase blood sugar levels, but it increases insulin levels. And if you recall, the purpose of this is to give the insulin receptors a rest. So usually it's the high sugar, high starch foods that raise insulin. But there's a study which I have reference to in the on the site that will tell you about a study they did where there were foods that were unexpectedly raising the insulin without raising the glucose. So what that does is while it's not reading on your meter that you have higher blood sugar, it is going to raise your insulin levels and affect your insulin receptors. So that's what we have there. And I see a question from Rob, and I'm going to answer that. It's not how you're going to think. I'll answer it in a bit. So the action steps we're going to do are in these five areas, right? Nutrition. We're going to be eating low glycemic meals, and the glycemic index is the one that you've created, right? If a chart says that, I don't know, apples are low glycemic, but you find that after you eat an apple, your sugar goes up to 130 or 140 or 150, then that's a high glycemic food for you. So all the stuff you've been doing over the last month or so or more for some of you has been preparing you to figure out what those foods are. And we'll look at the chart in a moment. You know, eliminate allergens. So the top allergens, the top six are gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts. Some people have allergies to strawberries, citrus, nuts, other grains. Some people are just grain intolerant and are sensitive to all of those. So whatever foods over the years you've found that you just don't respond well to, you're going to be leaping out for this month. You're going to be eating essential fats at breakfast. And remember that breakfast doesn't mean you're having it first thing in the morning. Breakfast is your first meal of the day. For some folks, they like to do intermittent fasting where we skip breakfast or delay breakfast and don't eat until 10 or 12 or 2. That's still your breakfast, and make sure that you're eating those essential fats there and that it's a low-carb breakfast. And fitness, we're going to be doing walking and bursts. Now, of course, if you're a runner, don't walk. You can run. If you're a cyclist, just cycle. If you're a swimmer, swim. Whatever your chosen for. But if you don't have an exercise program, what I'd like you to be doing is walking and bursts. And we go through what the bursts are in the fitness module, but also in the first, in the foundations module under the jumpstart activities. And we give you a couple of videos to watch. Bursts are basically 30 to 60 second exercise bursts, basically exercise periods where you just exercise all out and then you rest for at least 2 to 3 minutes. On the stress, we're going to be doing our mini vacations, and I'm recommending you do them 5 times a day. Recall that mini vacations are based on the heart math technique called quick coherence. And in one of the foundations modules, you're going to have a link to where you can sign up to get daily messages to take you through. And if you haven't already started it, great time to start is on day one of the metabolic reset, because it's 30 days of messages and the metabolic reset's 30 days. How's that work? Awesome. It was designed that way. We're going to look to get your bedtime to be by 11 o'clock. and to be in bed 7 to 9 hours. I know some of you have difficulty falling asleep. Some of you have difficulty staying asleep. What I'm going to invite you to do is just observe that and be curious about it. And we'll go and we'll actually do a deep dive on sleep. And I think we have a bonus call planned around sleep to really help you to get into what are possible causes. There's lots of references in the sleep module. And those of you who are having difficulty with sleep, I recommend that you get into the sleep module. For those of you who are not having difficulty with sleep, skip it. Save time. Go do something else during that time. And as far as timing, we're really recommending the no food within 3 hours of bedtime. If you're having difficulty, you know, with all this, protein in the morning, if you're eating a breakfast in the morning, have a good source of protein and use the guidelines in the booklet that I have on one of the nutrition pages that has the hormone hacking breakfast menus. And it tells you what you can do and how to focus a breakfast, the first meal of the day, to have a good source of protein, preferably at least 15 grams, good sources of omega-3 fats that are balanced with the omega-6. So, you know, either equal amounts or no more than a third the amount of omega-6 that you have as omega-3. We want you to get some good fiber at your breakfast meal. We want you to get greens at that breakfast meal. And a good source of probiotics would be helpful. So I'll tell you my meal, my breakfast, which I started eating at noon. It's a green smoothie with an avocado in it and ginger and turmeric and all kinds of really good spices. I ate a jar of Cocoyo turmeric ginger yogurt. It's a brand that's all raw, natural, all life cultures. Sometimes when you open it, it spills over. It's really good. Making your own is a much more cost-effective way to do it, and we have recipes in the recipe collection, but I was away. My husband very kindly went out and bought me a bunch of jars of this because he knew I was having a busy week and wasn't going to get a chance to make any. So I had that. So I had my green smoothie, which has greens, fiber, didn't have omega-3 in it, and actually, I'm looking where's my omega-3. I usually put hemp seeds in my yogurt, and I didn't today. So I would have put hemp seeds in my yogurt to get that, or have this with, you know, over a bowl of chia. So the breakfasts that we laid out in there have all five of those components. So mine had the greens, the fiber, protein, there's lots of protein in between the yogurt and the smoothie. The yogurt itself has, no, not a lot, it has 2 grams of protein, but the smoothie itself has probably 15 to 20 because I've done analyses on these. I drink a quart of it. And, so protein, fat. The only thing I'm missing here is that fat, and I forgot to add the flax or chia to my smoothie or my Cocoyo. So really, it's not that hard to do. Not that hard to do. So these are important things. We want to get you to be spacing your meals 5 hours apart, but it's not always going to happen. And if you get palpitations when you start to spread them out, that means that you are dysregulated and you're going into a hypoglycemic effect, which is causing cortisol to be released. We don't want that. So if your typical is eating every 2 hours, go to every 2 1/4, do that for a little bit, and then go to 2 1/2, so that by the end of the metabolic reset, you'll be experiencing that nice delay and you'll be seeing a lot of change as a result. So there's a thing we have on the site. It's called the 30-Day Metabolic Reset Implementation Guide. If you haven't watched it, Lynn did a site tour, kind of an overview at the beginning, and I know that it's recorded, and if you want to put the link to that on the chat, that would be awesome, so that you can actually see where everything is. It's pretty straightforward. The other way to do it is my very first kickoff call. I showed you the pages on the site, and there's a tour video on the site as well. But it's basically across the top, you're going to see the word metabolic reset. And then if you hover your mouse over it, you'll see where you can get access to this 30-day metabolic reset implementation guide. It's a 2-page document that summarizes everything. And I will tell you that a lot of people can get results just by following this. So the 30-day metabolic reset implementation guide, you should see the page on this thing. It's the 5 areas and then 2 or possibly 3 things for you to do within those areas. If you haven't started any of these, then now is the time to start and pick one or two and work on them, and then pick another one or two and work on them until you get them down. When you can master all of the things on this sheet, that's when your glucose is going to get under control. It's going to be the way you want it to be. You're going to be experiencing repair of those insulin receptors and major shifts. And people are already seeing major shifts. So, and the nutrition, it's follow the guidelines on the in the menu planner, including digestion enhancing strategies, right? So this is one thing that a lot of people forget about. If you're, no matter how good you're eating in a rush, if you're not calming yourself down, if you're not chewing your food, if you're not eating slowly and really accessing all the nutrients in the food, you're just not going to feel good and you're not going to keep your blood sugar regulated. So I would go to the Sweet Spot menu planner and look at the digestion enhancing strategies. And then use the chart on the next page, which I'm going to show you, in conjunction with the recipe collection to make delicious blood sugar balancing meals. Now, you may not be able to eat every recipe in the recipe collection if you find that, say, blueberries raise your sugar. There's a few recipes that have blueberries in it. If carrots raise your sugar, you're going to have to leave those out. But it's a there's so many recipes in there that you are going to find enough recipes to make it through the week. On the fitness realm, I want you to do these short bursts. You can do 2 minutes first thing in the morning and 2 minutes an hour before bedtime. And that will help to reset your insulin and glucose very, very well. And the 2 minutes means you're not going to do it as intensely as you would if you were doing the quick 30-second burst throughout the day. So you can just get up and then just do something for 2 minutes. It could be getting on an exercise bike and pedaling as fast as you can sustain for 2 minutes, which is going to be a little slower than if I said as fast as you can sustain for 30 seconds. If you do that in the morning, if you do it an hour before bed, for a lot of you who are having difficulties with your blood sugar being high in the morning, a lot of times, for a lot of folks we've worked with, that when they do this 2 minute burst an hour before bedtime, they find that their glucose in the morning starts to go down. It's really cool. And we're going to have you do throughout the day, you know, ideally 4 to 8 of these 30 second bursts. And that means it's a little bit more intense. Now, some of you are saying, but I can't do anything with my legs because I have some knee issues. I can't do anything with my arms because of this. Regardless of whether you've got an issue with your body, you will be able to find something to do. And there is a video that should be posted, and if it's not, I think it's posted on the fitness page, that we did with Maria Horseman last year, where she showed us all kinds of really creative ways. She's a fitness trainer and a health coach. All sorts of very creative ways to do these things. So if you can't do a stair stepper, you can't do a bicycle, maybe you can get one of those little stair, those bicycle kind of things that sit on a desktop and you can do it with your arms. You could just sit in a chair. If you have knee problems, you can sit in your chair and just raise your arms up overhead as fast as you can for 30 seconds, right? That it's really simple. And your burst may not be the same as my burst. For me, I may have to do much more intensity of exercise to get my heart rate up because I exercise every day. If you're a marathon runner, you're going to have to do a little bit more intensity, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to go out for my training runs and run uphill, like as hard as I can for 30 seconds instead of, you know, doing the nice paced thing that you normally do if you're training for a marathon. So there's a lot you can do. And start with just doing a few bursts and walking, simple thing, walking or jogging or swimming or whatever works for you. And then there's a lot more detail on the fitness page and in the fitness video library to give you ideas to spark your interest and spark your creativity about what you can be doing. With your attitude and stress, make sure you've signed up for the 30-day stress transformation and start practicing the breathing and appreciation breaks 5 times a day. And here's how you can easily do it 5 times a day. You can go ahead and do it first thing in the morning before you get out of bed. And I love to just lay there and just breathe, appreciate. I go to the beach. it's going to be a great day. I can't wait to do this. And just like really let yourself fall into appreciation and visualize yourself in one of your favorite places. And then right before each meal, because that's going to help you to really digest that meal. Just do a 30-second appreciation break. And then right before you go to sleep. So if you only do two meals a day, that's only four. That's close enough. You can always add when you're brushing your teeth or when you lay down with a kid to cuddle them to go to sleep or any number of things. With attitude and stress, that is such an important piece because when you get spikes in your cortisol, a hormone produced by your adrenals, it raises your blood sugar. So you can be doing beautifully on the food, but you get stressed and your sugar goes up. So you really can't emphasize this enough. We have a module for each of this, and we're going to help you to go into the depth on each of these and then answer your questions if you are. Here's the thing with sleep, and this is where a lot of people, it's just a simple sleep hygiene that they need to do to be able to fall asleep. Post in the chat if you have difficulty falling asleep. If you want to get to, so if you want to really be able to fall asleep, dim the lights. From the time it gets dark outside, your light should be dimmer inside. It doesn't mean to sit in the darkness. It doesn't mean you have to go to bed as soon as it gets dark, although that could be a good thing, especially in the summer. It's not that hard to do. But you want to dim the lights. Use it as a romantic time to turn on candles. Turn off the TV and get away from the computer at least an hour, but ideally a couple of hours before bedtime. You can take a warm bath. You can throw lavender essential oil in the bath or those bath salts and just relax, meditate, or listen to soft music. Things that ready your body for sleep. Watching the news on TV does not ready your body for sleep. So if you're watching the news, turning it off, and then trying to fall asleep, your adrenaline is rushing because the news is usually not filled with, you know, daisies and butterflies and kittens getting rescued from trees, right? It's stuff that's scary. So I highly recommend that you don't watch the news before you go to bed. And I highly recommend that if you do need to use the computer, get the blue light blocking glasses to use while you're doing it. Or on the computer, there's an application called Flux, FL.UX. And it actually dims the lighting on your computer so it pulls out the blue light so that you're not going to have as stimulating an effect. And then finally is timing. You want to stop eating 3 hours before bedtime and allow at least 12 hours before eating breakfast. Now, you may not be there yet. You may be eating all the way up to bedtime and then eating as soon as you get up and having only 8 hours between meals. So you're going to gradually increase that. This is going to make a huge difference, huge, huge difference. And I wanted to say on the sleep that there are a number of studies, lots of studies that show that even in a healthy person that doesn't have any signs of diabetes or insulin resistance, one night of bad sleep can put you into a temporary state of insulin resistance the next day. So it's really important to get this thing nailed. And then timing, the spreading of the meals. Right? Start your day not with carbohydrates, not with toast, not with ramen, not even with oatmeal. Substitute a chia porridge for the oatmeal. Have a protein shake. Make a green smoothie and put protein powder, chia seeds, or hemp seeds, or other things that are going to raise the protein. Listen to what we say in the hormone hacking breakfast because it's really important, the timing, because if you eat carbohydrates too early in the day, it causes a rise in the hormone called leptin, and leptin rises sometime in the mid-afternoon, and then it starts to come down again. Well, at its peak, you're going to have your lowest appetite, but as it comes down again and it comes down right after dinner, you're going to start to get the munchies before bed. So it could be a leptin imbalance that's causing this. And we go through all of this stuff as details in the modules. Okay? So spacing the meals we talked about already, just start to gradually increase it. So this is in there. If you just take this piece of paper and this piece of paper that are on your site, you print them out and you put them in multiple places and you just follow this, you're going to be in good shape. Okay? There may be some modifications. Everybody needs to avoid the stuff in red for the 30 days. All right. We're not going to drink any fruit juice. I don't care if it's fresh squeezed or not. We're not going to be eating dried fruits. We're not going to be eating the high glycemic foods, pastas, breads, etc. There's one exception to the pasta. There are noodles made from konjac, K-O-N-J-A-C, which have no calories, no carbohydrate, and they have the consistency of bean thread noodles like you might see in an Asian restaurant. And you can put a veggie dish all over it, a stir fry, a soup. You put them in soup, and they actually help to lower blood glucose and keep you satiated. So it's konjacfoods.com or miraclenoodles.com. You can probably get both of them on Amazon if you shop there. And then the high glycemic fruits, let's just stay away from them. Even if you've tested and they did okay, if you can stay away from them throughout the metabolic reset, it's going to just give even more of a rest. Anything in the yellow, you're allowed to eat if it keeps your sugar below 110, which means that if you're diabetic and your sugar is never below 110, don't eat anything in the yellow, okay? And then anything in the green is fair game, unless you've tested it and found out that, oh, my God, whenever I eat jicama, my sugar goes up. And there are a few people like that. Then just leave out the jicama. So what I recommend is that you print this food chart and that you X through any of the foods that you can't eat. Now, there are some non-starchy vegetables missing from here. Somebody pointed out that olives were missing from here. How did I leave olives out? I love olives. Somebody pointed out that there were some greens that were missing from here. Mushrooms were missing from here. We did update this, so the one on your site might be a little bit more updated. But the truth of the matter is we were trying to get a one-page chart, and it's really hard to get it all on one page if we put every single food in tarnation. So non-starchy vegetables, all non-starchy vegetables are good. Anything in the sweet spot recipe collection, except the things that raise your blood sugar above 110. Okay? So this is where we're going to go. This is what you eat. There's plenty of choice. There's plenty of recipes. There's plenty of salads and stir fries and mixtures of vegetables that you can eat that are pretty amazing. Vegetables, and then they have optional, of course, is animal foods. If you're not vegetarian, you can do the deep ocean fish or the organically raised wild lean meats. And then these things that you eat a lot of. There are some things that you don't want to eat in you want to eat in moderate amounts just because they're high fat and high calories. So that would be these things here like almonds and Brazil nuts and avocado and all that. We give you a chart in the nutrition to see to make sure that you're getting a good balance of omega-3. If you're not there yet, you're not there yet. Let's get the basics down, and then, you know, towards the middle, we'll talk about that chart. I'll introduce you to it, and then you can start to really look at that. It's a really good fine-tunement, but some people need it from the beginning. Some of you are just going to sail through without really watching that, and others of you really do need to watch it, so just be aware of that. Okay, so before I go on to the checklist, I'm looking to see, are there anything? Lemons and limes are generally, nobody has a problem with them raising sugar, so unless you're allergic, you can have them. But test for anything that has any caloric or starchy value. There was a question that Rob asked, and it was about changing the lancet every time. Like, if you've got the Keto Mojo, do I need to change the lancet every time? And here's what I'm going to say. The party line is, the recommendation is, yes, you need to change it every time. And I'm just going to tell you what I do, and you can do what you want to choose. Everybody does it differently. I actually don't. I change mine. I won't even tell you how infrequently I change mine. I change mine when they start to get dull. So you can do what you want to do. I remember I was traveling with a friend of mine who was a physician's assistant, and I went to test my, I said, don't watch, I'm not going to change my lancet, I'm going to test again. She goes, oh yeah, really? I don't test mine more than every couple, change mine more than every couple of months. It's an individual choice, but the recommendation for sanitation purposes is you change it every time. I have so many lancets because I don't change it every time, but that's just a personal choice. I'm also not germ phobic, so if my food falls on the ground, I don't
throw it away. I just pick it up and eat it. I mean, it depends on where. If it's in a public place, it's different. But at home, I'm just not that germ-phobic. And some people are, and rightly so, because you've had some exposures. And if you tend to get infections a lot, or you tend to have had hepatitis or a bloodborne illness, then I would change it every time. Okay. Yes, Laura said, so 110 for the yellow foods is our standard no matter what our AM glucose is. Yeah, because we're really trying to keep you from aggravating those insulin receptors. So yes, and in the green stuff, if there's some of it that raises you above 110 because you started higher, that's fine. I mean, that's where you would use, on the greens, that's where you would use the 20 to 30, you know, stay away from the things that raise it more than 20 to 30. Good question. Konjac, K-O-N-J-A-C, K-O-N-J-A-C. Mushrooms should be okay. Test them. I've not had anybody. Mushrooms are a good source of B vitamins and protein. Yes. And people are asking about where, and Lynn's answering where the various and sundry things are in terms of recordings. Okay. I don't see any others, Lynn. If there's anything else I should answer before we move on, then just repost it for me or just open your line and tell me. Barb the Bee Lady, what is the percentage of fat she had to? It varies from person to person. There is no set. Like, if you're really thin, I'm going to tell you to keep your percentage of fat to 30%. And you're going to keep losing weight. No, that's not good. It just depends on your metabolic weight. Right. Somebody asked how many avocados are too many in a day. Again, it depends. If you're overweight and you're not losing weight and you're eating 3 avocados a day, maybe that's too much for you. I have a kid, you know, a 25-year-old who exercises a lot, and if he eats avocados, he'll eat 2 or 3 of them in a day, right? It just depends. You want to make sure that majority of the food you're eating is vegetable-based, and then the fats are added to that. The people who promote straight keto talk about 80% of your calories being from fat in order to stay in ketosis. I have found that that is not true. I don't need to have that high a fat percentage, and I stay in ketosis, mild nutritional ketosis. So you don't need to have that. You just need to have the right balance. I think Chronometer is a really nice app to put things into to be able to actually see your calories, your fat, et cetera, and make sure that you're getting enough of the veggies to get your micronutrient needs met, okay? Yeah, so the Genteel Lancet is much gentler. It has this thing where it's a bigger lancet and has this suction. So it gives you a tiny little, very slight prick, but then it does a gentle sucking of it out. And it really, really is so gentle on your fingertips. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. If there's more, we'll keep, I just want to keep going through this. I think everybody's finding, is this helpful to clarify this? Type in the chat and let me know if you think this is helpful. All right, so people asked about charts. So here's a daily checklist, and you can edit this to add stuff on yourself. This is an overall one where I go the general diet guidelines, the exercise, the stress management, and sleep. And you can put your own notes here. If you want to, I put notes here on some of them. And then you can just check things off. You say, okay, did I go gluten-free today? Yay. Was I grain-free today? Yay. Sugar-free today? Dairy-free? Did I eat 2 pounds of greens? You know, that's what we really like to target for. You can write in the column here, you know, just one or half or whatever. Did I get protein in my first meal? Was I waiting 4 or 5 hours between meals? No food, 3 out of 4 hours bed. And this will just give you an idea of how you're doing. It's not like the actions that you do, but how are you doing so that when you look back and say, oh, look, when I was doing more of this stuff, I was having better progress. So that's one chart. The other one is the daily chart. And this one's really tiny and hard to read because I put them in different colors based on what they were related to. So before you get out of bed, here's the things you do. Right after you get up, here's the things you do. Before your meal, these are the things you do. What do you do at breakfast? And then after, and it has reminders for checking your glucose. And you can go through and check things off this way and make sure that you know, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. I leave blank lines for you to add your own supplements, for you to add your own activities, and this goes on for a couple of pages. Let's see. So I think that if you aren't already using it, you can. Then we have a sample that Lynn posted it on. Lynn posted it in the Facebook group, but it should also be on the Metabolic Reset page. Lynn, will you double check that it is? And if it's not, have Jazzy put that up there, the links to Jan's, the ones that she set up. Whatever works for you to track it, this is an idea. Everybody's a little bit different, right? Everybody's going to be eating a little bit differently. Your schedule is going to be different. If somebody wakes up at 6 in the morning and I say do this at 9 in the morning, it doesn't make sense if I wake up at 8, right? So we have to adapt it to our own schedule. And once you do and you can keep track, then we can really look at this. If you're like, I'm just plateaued and I can't get past this, we can actually look at this chart to see what you're doing. And then we can also look at your chronometer if you do that, to really help you to fine-tune it. There's going to be some fine-tuning. Some of you are going to get it really quickly. Some of you have had this dysregulation for decades. It's just going to take a little bit more work to get you on track, but you will get results. We're seeing it already in just the months that people have been testing. What does 2 pounds of greens look like? What kind of average weight of greens in each recipe? I can put a pound of greens in a 1-quart smoothie. I think you're just going to have to weigh and measure. I don't have that concept of it, but between the blended greens and if you're doing soup or juices, you're going to get a lot more. But I don't really, off the top of my head, I can't say what that looks like. It's definitely doable because there's days when I'm doing even way more than that. But, you know, target for 1 pound ideally would be 2. But again, it's going to depend on your belly, too. If you've got a ripped up gut, you can't eat so many. Yes, juices count for the greens. Absolutely, Barb. Yeah, be careful. The most lancets you can share, what I would do is, because what happens with the Gentile is there does get to be a little bit of blood accumulation inside the little chamber. So if you have different tips that you can exchange to, and the Gentile does come with like 5 different tips, and then just make sure you rinse it out and, you know, do an alcohol swab on it before. I wouldn't use it with somebody other than a blood relative, but I think it could be safe to use with a blood relative, unless your kid has hepatitis or AIDS or something you don't want to share, right, or you do. Good question. So this is the recipe collection and the menu planner. Some of you ordered these as physical copies. If you want to, when you go to the page, there's a place at the bottom that you can have us actually send you the physical copies of these books. The recipe collection, the recipes are divided into sections. So you have juices and smoothies and breakfast cereals and special meals for breakfast. And then you have dips and pâtés and sauces and stir fries and dehydrated stuff that was similar to crackers. It's really, really good. Lynn makes a good point. The juices can count as the greens, but make sure to check your blood sugar if they can raise your sugar. It's a good way to get a lot of the nutrients from them, but they can raise your blood sugar. One of the ways around that I've done is I put some chia seeds in there and I let them sit, and that works. Okay, and Barb said I did, and if I did burst training, it was good. Okay, and just don't drink them too fast. Yes. Oh, cool. Gentile just recently started selling smaller tips. I received one a few weeks ago. That's awesome. Okay, so those are the recipes. So just start experimenting with them. There's a lot of videos out there, guys, that you can just watch me do a quick recipe and then do it. We have our Vital Healing Kitchen show, which we invite you to. Every month you'll get an invitation to that. Yesterday we did a show, and it will be up probably until Friday. And then we oftentimes take copies of those if they're related to Sweet Spot and put them in there. But it's, what was it? Oh, yeah, we did barbecue food. So we had some veggie burgers, which there's recipes in the recipe collection. There was a jicama potato salad. There's a recipe in the recipe collection. And then there was a coleslaw, which there's a recipe in the recipe collection. So most of the stuff we did yesterday, there's a recipe similar to it in the recipe collection. So nutrients and supplements. While you don't have to take supplements to get results with this program, it oftentimes is a very important process to speed things up, especially if you've had issues for a long time, especially if you start to do the shifts and you're not really seeing the blood sugar changes you expect. So these are the three that I call the cornerstone supplements or the craving crusher supplements. What people have found is if they start taking this, if they have cravings for sugars and pastas and breads, but they start taking these nutrients, it's helping the sugar get into the cells better, and it's speeding up the process of recovery. And so what we do in Metabolic Reset is we suggest these supplements, chromium polynicotinate, 400 micrograms twice a day or 200 micrograms four times a day, or somehow getting somewhere in that neighborhood of 800. If you find that that's too much for you, like some people do and their blood sugar goes too low, you play with the dose. Maybe you only need 200 or 400. Magnesium, either citrate, glycinate, taurate, or ionic magnesium, and there's a magnesium loading document in the module 2. The DHA, 350 to 500 milligrams per day, preferably algae oil-based, but you can also do it as a, like, Nordic Naturals has some if you're okay with doing a fish oil. I'm just always a little bit reticent to make sure that whoever you're getting the fish oil from is actually testing to make sure it's not contaminated with mercury and PCBs. I use an algae-based. DHA is super important for brain health. So if you're experiencing a lot of brain fog, DHA can be very helpful there. DHA helps stabilize the membranes, the insulin receptors. So it's a really important one for blood sugar balance. Now, there are some others, right? And we talk all in depth about them in module 2 in the nutrition module. If you have this longstanding issue and you're on metformin and you want support with, you know, making it so that you don't need it anymore and you can work with your doctor to get off of it, berberine is a good one. Berberine is from plants like Oregon grapefruit and barberry and golden seal and goldenrod. And it's a particular compound that helps to support you in your insulin receptivity. The studies have shown 500 milligrams three times a day. Your dose may be a little lower. It might be a little higher, but it can work really, really well. What brand? In terms of brands, we have a whole nutrition guide where I tell you all the brands that are my favorites. So things like, I don't know if Seeking Health has one, but they would be a good one. You can get capsules from Thorn. They have Berber 500, which is a 500 milligrams. There's some places that have it as a liquid extract. If you shop at the places I recommended, the Doctor's Supplement Store or the Wellavade, and we gave you links in the supplement guide, then you'll find the brands that I like that are good. I know that on Amazon there are a couple of companies, I think Micronutrients is one of them, that have powdered berberine, and you just want to make sure that it's powdered organic from organic plants. Yeah, and Lynn said most of the supplements are in the Doctor's Supplement Store. All right. And you know, some people may need like alpha-lipoic acid. Some people might need to do a short stint with vanadium. It just depends. And what we want you to do is to be monitoring. And as you're into the metabolic reset a week or two, that's when I want to answer the questions like, I'm still high. I'm still this way. That's when I want to really get into it, because before you start the metabolic reset, you're still in testing phase and you're still up and down and all over the place. Elizabeth says, I use a big bowl. I put raw mixed greens at the bottom, then I put veggies that I sauteed in bone broth or veggie broth on top along with bone broth. Love it. Yay, that sounds great. Holly says, what are your thoughts? She asked me soon, what are your thoughts? I'm starting to reset in June, knowing that I won't be able to do it perfectly because I have surgery on the 7th and won't be able to use my arm for 2 to 6 weeks. I would just start it. And after your surgery, start it again and just continue it longer. Because everything you're going to be doing in there is going to support you in having a successful surgery recovery. So don't let vacation or anything like that get in your way. Just start it. And if you feel like, I want to restart it when I can really focus on the messages, then there's a button on the page you can click, and it will just restart you right back at the beginning. So no worries with that. I just say do it. Don't put things off. So 30-day plan in a nutshell. Let's just go back through it. We're going to eat non-starchy vegetables, raw or cooked. I always prefer to get people to have at least 50% raw or more if your body can tolerate it, if you don't have a ripped up gut and, you know, inflammatory bowel disease and stuff like that. In the way of fruits, blueberries, green apples, and grapefruit, but only if they can eat them with glucose under 110. So really test those low glycemic ones, and if you can eat them without raising your blood sugar, fine. If not, stay away from them. Whole food fats, these are going to keep you, they're not going to raise your sugar typically, although cashews are a little high in starch or carbohydrate, sugar actually, that they may raise it a little bit if you overdo. Raw nuts and seeds, soaked and rinsed, we talk about that in the recipe guide. Omega-3 rich seeds like chia, hemp, and flax, coconut, avocado. These are all really good whole food fats, and olives, add olives to that. Olives are almost 100% fat, lots of good monounsaturated fat. And then optional would be lean and clean animal foods or cold water fish, wild game, or organic free-range meat, and especially if you don't have a bad reaction to it. Some people are actually allergic to some of the meat. Okay. So, metabolic reset testing guidelines. So if you've been testing your glucose, you've been testing it a lot, you've got some things, you've been adding new foods, you're testing a lot. You don't have to test as much during this phase unless you do add a new food or you go out and you go, whoops. So we basically look at always, 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 I want you to test your first morning glucose and track it. Just have some place where you track it, whether it's an app on your phone, whether it's the chart that I gave you, etc. I do have a chart that I am going to put on the chart page. It's a ketone glucose chart, and it actually will test your ketones, and it'll give you a spot to put your ketones and glucose if you're testing ketones, and it'll give you a way to get the ratio between them that gives you an assessment of how you're doing with a concept called autophagy, which is the ability of your cells to start breaking down dead tissue, and it's a sign of a good detox response. Always measure your bedtime. So we always want to know what it is in the morning and what it is at bed so we can compare. Now, if you're having some weird stuff going on with morning and night, then you can start testing more frequently or just test spot meals here and there, but definitely test if you eat a meal that contains foods you didn't test already. Definitely do your testing, the every 15 minutes testing. So if the morning and evening glucose are staying in or coming down to ideal 75 to 85, and your weight is steadily decreasing as desired, then you don't need to check every meal every day. And then spot check meals throughout the reset. So your fingers will get a little bit of a break. Again, review of the general guidelines. Fasting glucose should be under 90, ideally 75 to 85. Maximum should be less than 110. And if you're starting out diabetic, you're not going to get there for a little bit, so don't be hard on yourself. Just do your best. The ideal peak is going to be 90 to 100, 110 is fine, and your blood sugar doesn't dip below baseline. And I'm going to explain that because people get freaked out with that. I started out, my glucose was 89, and then I ate the food, it went up, and then I tested it again at 2 hours, and it was down to 87. Do I have hypoglycemia? No. We're talking a significant drop. Those machines are not precision machines. A 2 to 3 to 5 point difference could be just machine variation and the lack of precisionness of it. So don't worry about that. But if you start out with your meal and your sugar is 89 and you eat and it goes up to 110, comes back down, and at 3 hours after the meal, it's at 79 or 69, then maybe there was a hypoglycemic. Maybe. But maybe not. Depends also how you feel. If you feel amazing, don't worry about it. If you feel like, oh, I feel a little shaky, I feel a little hungry, I feel weird, then there's an issue. Okay? And this is a conversion chart. I talk in the U.S. numbers. I'm going to have to print this chart and keep it right by my desk so when we're on these calls and you guys from Canada and Europe say to me, oh, my sugar was 6.7. Okay, 6.7 is 120. My sugar was 5. That's a 90. Somebody wrote in that her fasting was somewhere in the 5s, which is still a little high, but her peak was somewhere like 9. That's a problem, right? That's a problem. Even if your fasting is, say, 4.4, which is 80, but your peak after a meal is 9, that's a problem, and that's what we want to address, okay? All right, so you have that chart that you can convert. So I would recommend that anybody who's out of country print that out for yourself. I'm going to do the same. Print it out. Keep it by your desk so when we're on calls or you're on Facebook group and you're reading, you can easily look at it and convert the numbers. Okay, so here's my recommendation for you. Yeah, this is work. I don't have a magic bullet, guys. I wish I did. I could make a fortune. I could retire and be on the beach all the time. But there is no such thing as a magic bullet. There's no magic supplement or magic herb that's going to suddenly wipe everything away and allow you to eat whatever you want, in spite of the fact that a lot of slick marketers are trying to convince you of that. It's work. We're going to change your diet and lifestyle. But it's so worth it because it's really hard doing a lot of things in life. To me, it's really hard to be tired. I had an experience of having traveled for 2 weeks and got home at 2:30 in the morning, had to get up. I was up by 7 the next morning for a client call at 9, had to get prepared for it, and went all the way through. By the end of the day, I felt something I am just not used to feeling, which was exhaustion. My body felt achy. I felt chills. I felt cold. I felt just I needed to sleep, and I thought I was getting sick. I didn't like that feeling. So I went to bed at 9:30, and I slept till 7 o'clock the next day. And I woke up feeling great, and I've been feeling great ever since. So, yeah, it's hard work. It's hard work when you travel to, pass by on the really good-looking chocolates and cakes and pizzas and whatever else. But it's so worth it. So, yeah, it's hard, but childbirth's hard, right? Who's given birth? That's a hard process. You know, you got this 7-pound baby and you're trying to push it through a quarter inch opening that's stretching and hurting. That's hard work. Going to college is hard work. Lots and lots of stuff there. Raising kids, that's the hardest job you'll ever do. But they're worth it. These things are worth it. So is getting your blood glucose in balance. When you think about it, I think I sent out an email to some folks yesterday. I'm always thinking about what's the health thing of the month. You know, so May was Alzheimer's Awareness Month. No, Stroke Awareness Month. And June is actually Alzheimer's Awareness Month. And that made me think about my mother-in-law who died after a massive stroke. And she had lost her memory when she was in her early to mid-80s. Like, it was gradually going downhill. They didn't actually diagnose her with Alzheimer's. They said she had dementia. But in my opinion, she had Alzheimer's because she was – you know, she did the wandering thing. She got hostile when she wasn't really a hostile person, and she couldn't remember short term. She got so bad that she couldn't finish a sentence because she couldn't remember back so far as what the words were she used at the beginning. And it was so sad and so miserable to see her there like that. And I never want to be that way. I never want to see people I love be that way, and I don't want to see you be that way. So then she had a stroke. They turned out that when they checked her, she had had multiple TIAs, transient ischemic attacks, which are, mini strokes. She'd been having those all along. And guess what? The root cause that's in common with both of them are blood sugar dysregulation. And I know she had it. I know watching the way she ate that she had it. And I know my father-in-law had it because he had been diagnosed as being a type 2 diabetic. But here's the thing. It's going to be hard work, and it's going to be worth it, just like childbirth, just like college, and just like raising kids. And it's so much easier than surgery. It's so much easier than being exhausted all the time and not liking your body and cancer and heart disease and joint pain and all that. It's so, so much easier than that. So who's going to say, rah, rah, yes, it's easier, and I'm willing to do the work? I'd love to hear in the chat. Who's willing to just do this? Like, just do it. I'm giving you step-by-step wins here. The people on the Facebook group are here for you. People have done it before. We're all here rooting for you. And when it gets hard, just reach out. So who's ready to do it no matter how hard. Yes, why no coffee? I want to know who why no coffee is. Yes, Tara Nell says, bring it on, baby. Love it. I found a juice that is totally green, got rid of hip arthritis. Yes, Barb the Bee Lady. Why no coffee is Brit. Hi, Brit. Yeah. Linda Wu, I'm willing. Rona, I'm ready. Deborah, I'm ready. Yes, we're all ready. And this is what's going to happen. So I'm going to leave you with some self-reflection that you can do as you begin to start the reset. Okay, me, Linda Lou. Mary Kay, yes. Laura, yes. Definitely ready, Ladia. Zanita, yes. Yay. Okay, good. Heather, great challenge. I'm ready. Yes, we're going to do this. We're going to do it together. And we're going to share amazing success stories as we go through and at the end. We're going to be here to support you. I'm going to start doing some more Facebook Lives. It may be at weird hours, but I'm going to be doing some more Facebook Lives. And whatever questions came up during this that we didn't get to answer, I will go ahead and we'll do a video, a little audio, and we'll send that out. Because here's the deal. A lot of stuff that you may have been asking about, I answered during this, right? Laura says, is nut butter okay? Yes, I'm going to get a caveat. If you're the type of person that likes to open the jar and just sit with the spoon and eat nut butter out of the jar, you may end up eating too much, especially if it's almond butter, and that's too high in omega-6. So yeah, nut butters are fine. I spread nut butters on celery sticks and eat them that way. I love nut butter. Sometimes for a very special treat, when I have that sweet attack, I'll take nut butter, put it in a little bowl, put a little hazelnut or chocolate stevia in there, put a couple of cacao nibs, and that's like, oh, it's a dessert without screwing up my blood sugar. So yeah, it's fine as long as you don't overdo it. Yeah. Rob says, I have a big question. I will post on Facebook. Okay, post it on Facebook. I get notices most of the time when you guys post on Facebook, and I get them on my phone. So like when I'm traveling and I have my phone with me, I'm answering. So you've seen that I answer a lot of your questions on Facebook. So happy to answer things on Facebook, and happy to answer them, you know, if you put them in here. Lynn, if you go through in this chat, if there's any questions that you think I need to answer that weren't covered during the discussion, then go ahead and put them in the Q&A, and we'll make sure that we'll take everything from the Q&A and answer it. But here's the thing. Just do this self-reflection for yourself at the beginning of the day. Are you moving your body every day in an enjoyable way? An enjoyable way. Like it doesn't have to be on lifting these weights. What can you do that's moving your body that's fun? Even if it's mowing your lawn, for God's sake, and you're outdoors in nature, or hiking on a trail, or picking flowers, or dancing, but move every day. And if not, what's holding you back, right? Do you need help with enjoyable ways? Let's brainstorm this, okay? Rita says, need to do this, so I will. Yay. Are you doing regular? Oh, is there anything getting in the way of your eating according to the plan and testing your glucose to determine what's best? What's getting in your way? Let's pull this onto the Facebook and actually take the self-reflection and put these answers on Facebook, and we'll all kind of share with each other, right? And give each other tips and motivation and inspiration. Are you doing regular mini vacations throughout the day? Well, it's so fun to do mini vacations. I just close my eyes and I can feel the sand between my toes, and I'm getting goosebumps right now as I say this. I feel the water on my skin. I feel the sun, and I'm like, and everything's good after that, right? So you can do that too. So Linda Lou says, my fat intake is really high because I need to gain weight. Yeah, using Chronometer to balance omega-6 and 3. Any suggestions? Just keep doing it and do some weight training where not aerobic, because it's going to burn fat. It's going to, you know, get you burning calories, but do some weights to add weight to you. We don't necessarily need fat. A lot of people think they need to gain weight. They need to gain fat. A lot of skinny people are overly fat. So if you have access to something where you can do like a bioimpedance test where you can measure your fat versus lean, see if what you need to gain is more lean than fat, right? But if you're like you're down to 10% fat, of course you do need some more fat than that. So eating fat, doing more shakes where you put fat in there. You may need to eat more frequently, Linda Lou, but make sure that you're not eating high glycemic foods more frequently, but just eat more frequently so that you can actually get the weight put back on you. Okay? Yes. Oh, I like this. Barb the Bee Lady, one bundle of celery, two cucumbers peeled, two cups of good green beans, one lemon peeled, one lime peeled, all juiced into truly pain-free. Wow! When I stop drinking this, my hip stiffness comes back in 2 days and pain follows. Good luck all. Great. Everybody just copy this down and try it if you have pain, right? It may be a little different for you, but this is awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Barb. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thing about the tapping, just to say, I just found out yesterday that it was postponed. I know we mentioned it on the call, but it was never officially announced because the person that was doing it turned out she can't do it. So apologize for the miscommunication there, but we're working with her to get it scheduled. And then what would you need to think, do, believe, and feel in order to make the sweet spot activities and foods an enjoyable and consistent part of your life? I know I do. I know I love doing my exercise. I love doing my mini vacations. I'm really enjoying getting into bed before 11, and I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there consistently, and I really love the food. The food is amazing. While I was away last week, we were in Washington, D.C., so anybody that lives in the D.C. area, there were two restaurants side by side on the H Street corridor. One was called Farewell, F-A-R-E-W-E-L-L, and the other one was, the next door one was Hempburger, or K-H-E-P-A-L-A-S, or something like that. Amazing food. Amazing, amazing food. And a lot, all sweet spots. I mean, it wasn't all sweet spots consistent, but you just had to leave out the things that were. They had these beautiful dips. They had these amazing broccoli dip and a broccoli dish and a cauliflower dish. And it was just so nice to be traveling and have somebody else make that. So the food is amazing. Just get into it and enjoy it. Okay? So that's it for my presentation. I'm going to stop the recording of the presentation. We'll make sure that you get the access to this presentation of the recording on top of the audio recording. And then I'm just here. Let me look at my calendar because I know I have another call right after this. I'll see what time it is. And we have about 15 minutes to the end of the call. So I'm going to go to the chat. And I'm going to open up, where is this, instant teleseminar. Was that helpful, guys? Was that helpful to have that review there? Yes, very helpful. Good. And this presentation, I never do two things the same, but the recorded one has a lot of this information as well, so you can go back to that, too. Great. All right. Super, super helpful. Yay. All right. So let's look at the Q&A. I'll look at the Q&A to see what questions came in. Mahela, oh, and I've got a, you know what? I'm not going to be able to look because we're short on time now. I won't be able to look at your charts that you submitted. So if you did submit one and you have a question, just go ahead and type it into the Q&A and I'll answer and then I'll look it up then. Mahela. Dobre. Hello, I was on a trip for 3 weeks, couldn't follow the diet, tried to eat carefully, but I couldn't do it all in the foundations. Now being home, I follow again the recipes from the collection and doing all the rest from the foundations as much as possible. In this way, I lost a lot of upper part of my body. The skin is bobby. I feel it's a thick pigment. My breasts almost disappeared and my kyphotic changes in my skin. Okay, I started the program not for losing weight, but for being healthy. And being my, I don't know what to do. Okay, she's asking about, you know, her weight loss, okay? So that's something I probably need to talk to you more, get on a call here, raise your hand, and we can actually talk and I can ask you some questions. But I would recommend that before we do, that you fill out one of those documents that we have. The form, so I know what you're eating, timing of what you're eating, and I can help support you in that. Serving, right? Serving is a serving for you. I'm not a big, like, measure and weigh things type of person, so So I feel like you eat a portion that looks reasonable, that your plate is 75% on the vegetable basis. If you're trying to gain weight, it may be a little less vegetable and more in the way of fat. And I would say that you eat what fills you and satiates you, because the serving size is going to differ from one person to the next. She said the recipes are amazing. A little too sour for myself, but I discovered the joy of adapting things. Good. I like lemon, so my recipes may be a little sour. Yeah, the recipes are amazing because they don't raise your blood sugar. Absolutely. I like to put questions about blood sugar, as I noticed, but now following the recipes and what you said about having greens in every meal, I think that for the moment, blood sugar being normal, it's okay. And also because I discovered that I don't need to know. Yeah, here's the thing. Thank you for pointing all this stuff out. We're trying to analyze everything. Some of us left brainers, right? I had situations when I was traveling where my blood sugar went way too high and I didn't think it should have, right? And I had trouble getting it back down. So we can't always understand it. There's things that go into it. There's environmental shifts. There's stressors. There's sleep, whatever. So I would say let's just try it. And when we're into the metabolic reset for a week or two, I'm not to say not to ask your questions, but once we're into it for a week or two and you're really following it and you're tracking things, and we can look and say, okay, you need something shifting because this isn't working for you, right? Or you need something to be adapted because you're losing too much weight or whatever that might be. Anne from Colfax. Yeah, so we do have the downloadable. She asked about the chart, and I showed it to you in this presentation about a chart. Yes, and it's on the site. Neil, I received my blood work and scored normal for everything except C-peptide. C-peptide is low, insulin 1.9 low. C-reactive protein is 10, which is a little high. That's definitely high. I would say that should be, I like to see it under 1. And 27 for D. I was wondering especially about the elevated CRP. Yeah, so you got to get the D up. You got to get that D up in the range of 75 to 100. So I would start by working on the D. For the hsCRP, you want to figure out why is it high, right? Where's the inflammation? CRP will go up in an acute inflammation and then come back down. But if it's chronic inflammation, it'll just stay up. So you want to know where that inflammation is. And those are some questions like, do you have joint pain? Do you have any gut issues? What's going on there? The C-peptide is on the low side and the insulin is on the low side. So you may not be making enough. You may have some pancreatic inflammation where you're not making enough insulin. So, you know, if your blood, everything else is normal, I don't know what your A1C is, if that's like 4.8 to 5.2. And then what your blood sugars are. So I would really work on that D. Don't overlook that. And then for the CRP, there are things you can do looking at an anti-inflammatory diet, which this is. So following this for a longer period of time, more ginger, turmeric, depending on where the inflammation is. There's things like Boswellia, proteolytic enzymes, and those are kinds of things that can help bring the CRP down. IV nutrients, IV vitamin C, even liposomal vitamin C could be helpful too. And Neil's going to listen to the replay. Mavila, what causes MCD to be high? MCD high is usually either a B12, folate, B6, or vitamin C deficiency, most likely B12 or folate. Neutrophils low, 1.2. I don't know I need to know more the absolute neutrophils versus the ratios, because the absolute number doesn't mean anything without. The questions need to be submitted here, and I remember this question, and I remember answering it because I answered every question, so maybe you didn't listen all the way through. A good place to submit questions is with the form that we gave you, which if you go to the site and you go to where it says extras, the very first link is a form you can fill out, and you can put your questions in there, and also the Facebook group. Okay, I'm going to skip the questions we've already answered. Laura said, tends to wake up for 1 to 2.5 hours most nights. I'm usually hungry, which makes me think it's sugar-related. glucose is about the same as bedtime. My functional medicine doctor recommended eating a bit of protein before bed and when I wake up. You can do that to fix to give you symptom relief. No worries. But you're not going to really get at the root of the problem. So I would say, let's get you go through the sleep module and really see if there are other issues. It might be a cortisol issue. It could be eating too close to bedtime. It could keep you awake. It could be that you're watching TV too close to bedtime. So I would say go through the sleep module and work on that. And if it helps to have a little bit of protein before bed or when you wake up, you can. I just think it's not going to solve the problem long term. Let's see. I refresh. There's a lot here. Oh, no, there's a not. Got that. Dawn, my resting sugar is 95. After meal goes to 116. And then the rest of the testing, 15-minute increments to 1 hour, stays at 108. Can I eat those foods? I don't, if your peak is at 116 and then it's coming down and it stays at 108, it would be best to avoid those if it happens consistently with the same food, but if it happens occasionally, it's not that big a deal. So anytime it spikes, to avoid those foods during metabolic reset, it's best to avoid anything that spikes it, but 116 is kind of borderline. I see HeartMath Visions. Where is this? That's in the stress module, but also if you go to the foundations module under the jumpstart activities, it's mentioned there a lot. And if you go there, there's a link to, and Lynn, if you could put that in the chat, the link to get your transforming stress messages started. No, don't delay the metabolic reset. Since you haven't gotten to modules one or two, you only at the beginning of this, I said, anybody's just thinking this, all you need to do is get through foundations. There's enough in foundations to get you through the metabolic reset. So just get those and we'll go through modules one and two. Sora, freaked out at how high it went after ramen. We had that in the chat. Holly, I answered. Okay, Karen says, I'm doing bright line eating and I'm down to goal weight and in maintenance. We're testing some foods that are making my blood sugars too high, so I'm substituting different types of foods to see if it helps. Like instead of oat groats, so I'm substituting a fat. Since BLE is working so well for me, it's a little challenging to adjust for my blood sugars. Yeah, I would say what you're doing is fine. Just find substitutes for what you're doing. You can still follow the principles. Indra says, my glucose isn't going under 100. So I don't know, and I would love you to raise your hand because there's not enough information and there's no question. So we didn't even start the reset yet. So what I would do, Indra, is fill out one of those forms. Go to the site where it says extra, fill out the forms and give me all the data, and then on the next call we can do it. Jahavana from Santa Fe, Jananavi. When does cortisol come up in a way we don't want? Is it associated with a glucose number? Now, cortisol will comes up in the morning to get you awake, and then it will come up when you're stressed. Hannah, my fasting blood glucose is higher than my post-meal. Is that usual? No, it's not usual. So, again, fill out one of those forms. Give me all the numbers, and we'll help you to analyze it. Karen, my insulin is 1.6, so insulin is not making enough to get glucose into my cells. This is why I'm tired enough. It's really hard to say with just the insulin at 1.6. It could be. But what I would recommend you do is you do what's called a postprandial insulin, that you get your glucose tested in the morning, and then you go ahead and go out to your car and eat a meal and then go back in an hour and test it again. And if it's not coming up, then it does mean that the pancreas isn't making enough. C-peptide gives you an indication of that as well. Indra, how can I reduce my fasting blood glucose? I'm eating carefully except eggs that do not increase it. I will stop eating those too, even though breakfast doesn't feel complete without eggs. What else can I do? I would say just follow the program exactly and give it 30 days of following it exactly. And I don't care if eggs raise your blood glucose or not. They can be allergenic even though you don't know it. And I would give them up for at least a couple of weeks just to see. The bee lady. Barb, the bee lady, I had blood work done in high protein and have protein in the urine. So I would test it again. What you can do is go to Amazon and get these blood sugar, urine testing strips, about 10 to 12 bucks for 100 of them, and just keep an eye on it and see if that was a fluke or if that's on a regular basis. High protein in the urine can be a kidney issue. So it can be that you have a kidney stone forming and it's creating that, or a kidney and inflammation infection. So I would look at that and keep it regular. Lottie can teeth suffer due to high glucose levels? If yes, can you do anything to support them during a stronger healing process? Yeah, so that's a good question. And teeth are like bone. They're really an extension of bone. So anything that would help support bone can be helpful. So I like to, we have a program called Eating for Bone Health, which I think a lot of you got as a bonus for this. And I'm going to check to make sure the bonuses have been set up and that they're being delivered to you, because that would be helpful. But in the meantime, if you've ever heard of these herbs, nettles, horsetail, alfalfa, oat straw, really super important for helping support the function of your bones. And then making sure that all your nutrients are good. So do a chronometer and make sure that you are not short on any of the bone-supporting nutrients. And in Eating for Bone Health, we have a list of all those nutrients. There's about 20 of them, not just calcium, that work with that. Lottie says, I also have acid reflux and trying to heal, slow down while eating. That's a big problem for teeth, right? That acid coming up can really, really affect the enamel. So slow down while eating. I would look at, why do you have acid reflux? Look into a hiatal hernia. There's a lot of chiropractors and physical therapists that can actually adjust for a hiatal hernia. There are some actual videos on YouTube that will help you to adjust for a hiatal hernia, which would cause it. But it could also be you have low stomach acid, which makes the sphincter at the bottom of the esophagus too loose. Okay, so working on stomach acid. I would look at starting with things to heal the damaged mucosa, so things like slippery elm, marshmallow, DGL licorice. And then I would look at stomach acid. I would look at bitters. Just look up bitters. Bitters are a little herbal concoction you can take, or you could just chew arugula 15 minutes before your meal to start to stimulate your digestive juices. But I would first start with healing the mucosa with something like slippery elm, 1 teaspoon per 8 ounces of water. Same thing for marshmallow and licorice, about a teaspoon in that same 8 ounces of water. Licorice, but not full on licorice unless you don't have any issues with blood pressure. I would do DGL. All right, we're at the end. I'm going to look to see if anybody has their hands raised. I see 2 hands raised, one from Las Vegas and one from Ontario, Canada. Those are the only 2 I'm going to take, because you have had your hands up for a minute, and then I've got to go to the next call. So Las Vegas, you're first.
Hi, Dr. Riemer. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, I just
Barbara?
Swallowed by this, because I've been having my breakfast while we're finishing up, but I just wanted to ask you, is there a preference of raw or cooked for mushrooms? I prefer them cooked for the reset. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think cooked are probably easier on your digestion, and they're going to be more bioavailable.
Okay, and let's see, I had another question and I hadn't written it down, but I'm really excited, and I'm, you know, even though I'm not down the numbers that are perfect just yet, I'm seeing great success, and I'm so grateful, and I'm doing this. I just returned from my 60th class reunion, and I was able to find some wonderful by Googling some wonderful restaurants with good food, and stayed on the program, and I'm seeing the benefits. Even though I don't have a lot of weight to lose, I am seeing some weight loss. I'm feeling more energy and more clarity, and so I'm grateful, and I'm excited to see what the results of the reset can hopefully bring. And I'm planning on sticking with just the green section because I'm not in that ultimate number of below 110 all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful, and I'm concerned that, even really great meals are raising blood sugar more than 25 points, but maybe that's because I'm higher to begin with,
Yeah, and it could be you're higher to begin with, and if they are meals that don't contain starchy foods, I would just, see if you can stick with the ones that don't do that. But if it's everything that's doing that, then you're just going to stick with the green foods. You may add some of those nutrients. Make sure you're adding those nutrients to what you're doing. But you're a real inspiration. You are totally a big inspiration because of where you've come to so far. So thanks. And thanks for all your contribution to everybody just by talking on this call. I mean, for those of you who may not remember, Barbara's sugar started, in the 160s to 180s, with sometimes going into the 200s.
And sometimes more closer to 200. And yeah. Now I'm between, I've gotten as low as 97, but I'm consistently, between 100 and 120, and sometimes before time to eat again. And I am spacing my meals, try to do at least 5 hours, and I'm seeing, I've seen 103, even on my trip, I was seeing 103, 104, 107, and there's a certain amount of stress with traveling and so forth, so I was just so excited, and I found this wonderful buffet in Kansas City called the Gratitude Cafe, and I thought about you the whole time as I was eating this wonderful food. They had everything was organic, and it was just an amazing thing to be able to find that quality of food on the road.
That's wonderful, especially in Kansas.
And the name of the cafe, Cafe Gratitude, it sets you up for good digestion.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that, and just keep up the good work and just stay dedicated. And it takes a while. It took you a while to get to where you're at, and it's going to take a little while to come down. But you've had such amazing results in such a short time that I'm very, very excited for you.
And thank you so much. And you've helped me so much, and I am going to stay dedicated now. I think I read, and you said the nut butters are okay on the reset. I especially love the natural. I use almond butter, but I love peanut butter. Is that?
I would stay off peanut butter. No peanuts. Peanuts are in the top allergens, and they're also high in aflatoxin. So that would be the exception.
Other nut butters, just not peanut butter. Okay.
Balancing them with your omega 3. So, for example, if I do like a nut butter, like if I do my almond butter and I mix it with, my treat, I'll put some hemp seeds in there or some chopped up walnuts in there to just give it more of an omega 3.
Okay. And now, another person that had been giving me advice had thought that I needed to include molasses in my diet mixed with nut butter or whatever. That she thought I perceived that I was low on calcium, but I haven't done that on a regular basis because it is high in sugar. But what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so say that again. It was, what did she say to do?
That I needed a tablespoon of molasses a day.
No. I'm very.
And so I haven't been. I've been following your program, I have not done it because I thought it's just too high in sugar.
No, it's too high in sugar. That's an old-fashioned approach it's silly. So I would have Okay, I got to go now. We're going to go to the next person, and then we're going to go. But we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And then Ontario. Who's in Ontario that has their hand up?
I am. This is Indra. I think it's Ontario,
hi,
California, not Canada. Hi.
Oh, it's just Ontario.
Yeah.
Oh, California, Ontario, California. I just saw CA and I assumed it was Canada. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was calling in regard with, you know, last week I posted something and I wasn't in the call, so my question wasn't answered. So
let me just say, if you miss a call and you post a question, we do answer all the questions. So it would have been in the recording. You would have to listen to the recording.
Okay, I probably missed it because I did try. But anyway, I was I'm sorry.
What's your question?
Okay, I wanted to know, you know, the supplements. Now another question, supplements. Do I have to take them before eating or after eating? Because I don't like to drink water after eating, so chill for another 30, 40 minutes.
Better for you. So you can take them before eating.
Before eating would be all right then? Okay.
Yep, totally.
Yeah. And I am going to stop taking eggs, as I mentioned, but I really, really need to bring my blood sugar down because it's stressing me out.
Yeah.
So hopefully this reset will really help me out. And
and get it down. Mm-hmm. And then as you're in like 2 weeks in and you're following all the directions, if it's still not coming down, then let's talk about some additional herbs or I want to talk to you about. That's why I want you to fill out that form because I don't know how you're sleeping. I don't know what your stress level is.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times a day you're doing the heart map. You know, all those things play in. So review that metabolic reset implementation guide and just make sure you're doing all of it because it's not just about the food. We really have to. Yeah. Okay.
Sleep is really an issue for me too, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know you're in a hurry. I'll just try to implement everything and then we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
And fill out one of those for me for next time and that way we could take a deeper look.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Alrighty. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
So I just want to say thank you to everybody. And we're going to end here. We're going to end here. And we have another call. I'm just looking at my calendar now. I think we have another call next Thursday. Next Thursday at 4 p.m. If you can't make it till later in the call, that's fine. If you do submit a question, and in advance, and you know you're not going to get on the call until a certain time, just let me know that, and I'll wait until then to answer your call. Starts at 4. I don't have anything scheduled after that, and I'm willing to be on for as long as it takes to help you guys get all your questions answered, okay? But if you have questions, if you really want to get into, like, my numbers are here and what about that, please, please, please go to the site, to the extras drop-down menu. The very first thing on there is a form that you can fill out and you can give me the information that I need to really be able to help you on a deep level and do it efficiently. All right? So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to open up your lines. And where do I do that? I go here. I'm going to open up your lines so you can all say goodbye to me and to each other. I like to hear your voices. And good luck starting on the 1st. Remember to watch your inbox tomorrow, the 31st, and we're going to send you an email that says if you're not ready to start the reset tomorrow, if you honestly don't want to, just let us know and we'll make sure that you don't get started. All right? But everybody will automatically start to get the first reset message on Saturday, and we're going to give you a message a day for 30 days. They're short, they're sweet, very inspirational, little recording just to keep you on track. And remember, if you're on Facebook, post to the Facebook group. We're all there to support you there. And I want to just say goodbye with much love. And I can't wait to talk to you next week.
Okay, thank
you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.